If someone were to ask any one of us here, what has prayer done for you? What would you give an answer? How much wiser are you now than you would have been if you hadn't prayed? How many safe journeys has God granted you? How many successful operations that we've prayed for came as a result? When God says, I am faithful and just to forgive you your sins, has prayer done that for you, or do you still have some doubts? When we pray for the peace, passing all understanding. So where does faith end and presumption begin? Would it be presumptuous of me to say that God granted me a safe journey here today only because of my prayers, that I'm fully convinced if I hadn't prayed, I wouldn't be here today? We all understand that that would be very presumptuous for us to talk about how many surgeries God has safely brought us through. And I'm not talking about providentially. Of course we can say that, because God does everything for us. The question that I'm posing, because we're in the middle of a series on prayer, is how much of this can we attribute to prayer? Or do we just see prayer not as an active part of our lives where we're actually changing things, but simply a fulfillment of a command? And so really what it comes down to is, do we have any confidence that prayer is doing something? This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Now, I'd say that's part A of that question. What has prayer done for us? We have confidence. The effective prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, I may or may not be able to point out to you or to anyone the exact place where God intervened. But we don't have to. We don't need tangible things to prove what our prayers have done. We only need a verse like this. We only need a verse that says that as a Christian, we have confidence. Now, that particular word means free and fearless confidence, cheerful courage, assurance. Some translations have boldness. This is the boldness. This is the confidence. This is the free and fearless confidence that we have, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. So there's an entire realm, an entire domain where this is true. There's another entire realm or domain where this is not true. And we have to be very careful here, because if we're not careful, we're going to have confidence in something that is not true or that cannot be shown to be true. So if we give a closer look to the passage, we see that the real focal point of the passage is if we ask anything according to His will. That's our confidence. Our confidence is not, Father, so-and-so is having an operation today, and I pray that You will get them safely through that operation. I don't know God's will, so I can't have free and fearless confidence. I have to be more like Jesus. If it be Your will, I pray that this person will get through the operation. So if I know God's will, I have free and fearless confidence. If I don't know God's will, I have humility and the realization that although it avails much, it doesn't mean it will happen. But you know the beauty of this? Because we trust God, because we know God has a bigger view of our life than we do, that God has a greater desire for us to be happy than we do, and that God has a greater desire that we would get to heaven than we do. So whenever we pray for something, we can have great confidence that He will weigh it. And if it's not in our best interest, He will say no, or He will ignore it. And if it is in our best interest, then He will answer it. That's the free, fearless confidence. Not that everything we pray for is going to happen. I would hope that none of us would want that. Because as years go by, we look back on some of the things we prayed for when we were younger, and we realize what a foolish thing that was. And I am so glad that God never answered that prayer except with no. So before we know He hears us, we have to ask according to His will. In other words, I have to know God wants this. This is God's will. So we look at according to His will, and we understand that we can only know His will if He reveals it. There are so many people today who know it was God's will that this happened, or this happened, or this happened. And a lot of times I'll stop them. I'll say, did God send you a personal letter yesterday to tell you that this was His will? Because if you don't have a specific thing revealed, you don't know. The secret things belong to God. I don't know what God's will is about America right now. I don't know what God's word is or will is regarding Western civilization right now. So all I can pray is, Father, You know best what to do. If God were to call me tonight and say, Alan, what do you think I should do about all this? What would you answer? I don't know what to do anymore. God does. God knows exactly what needs to be done. And so it's easy for me to pray, Father, let Your will be done. I can have free, fearless confidence when I pray, Father, I pray that Your will be done. Now, interestingly enough, that's one of the things Jesus wants us to pray for in the Sermon on the Mount and in the passage in Luke that says, Lord, teach us how to pray. Lord, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, if that's our fervent prayer, then we can have free and fearless confidence. The doubt comes when we start asking for things that we don't know what God wants. And so, if we're asking for things that are not revealed in His will, we have to ask differently. For example, when I sin and I come to God to confess my sin, I already know that He's going to hear that prayer because He promised. Now, does that make me arrogant? No, it's still a humble prayer. And sometimes it's filled with tears and sorrow and remorse, but it's never filled with doubt. It's never filled with, well, I just don't know if God will hear this prayer. Because that's wrong. If God asks us to do something and we do it, and then we don't know if He does it or not. So only if we don't know would we say, Your will be done. If I know His will, I don't have to pray, Your will be done. Your will be done, Father, that You forgive me of my sins. Or, Father, Your will be done that I'm praying for wisdom and You've promised to give it all liberally, but I hope it's Your will. No, I know it's His will. But when Jesus knew it was not God's will, He prayed accordingly. Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. That's what He wanted. If God had answered his prayer, that would have been the end result. He would not have had to die. But Jesus knew that in this particular instance, his will and God's will went in a little bit different direction. And so submissively and humbly, he said, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. How many times have you prayed that statement? How many times have we wanted something from God? Usually when we want something from God, we want it so badly, we're not going to put that caveat in there. We don't want that in there. We want it. Father, please give me this thing. And sometimes it's a selfish thing. I think most of us a long time ago quit praying for cars and houses and silly things like that. I think maybe as younger, we might have prayed for things like that. Jobs. But as we get older, we pray for things that are important to us. But if we don't know God's outcome, for example, your mother is dying. She's in the hospital. What do we pray? Father, save her. Well, maybe it's not the best thing for God to save her. Maybe if he saves her, she comes out with a stroke. She comes out with a life of misery and woe. You know, it's really tough when you're in a situation like that. Your flesh says one thing, but your trust in God says something else. And so I think it's a sign of spiritual maturity when we want something really badly, but we're willing to say, not my will, but your will. It takes a spiritually mature person to say that. Because that's not what we want. I mean, if we bring it to God, it's because we want it. If we didn't want it, we wouldn't be asking for it. But if we're wise, we understand that only God knows whether this thing would be good or not. And so, not as I will, but as you will. Because we don't know the future. You ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live. And do this or that. I think that verse, I know it doesn't apply directly to prayer. But I think indirectly it does. Because most of the things we ask for are in the future. And when we're asking for things in the future and we don't know God's will, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we want this or that. Or we want you to answer this or that. And so, brethren, it's very important when we're dealing with things that we don't know God's will. In other words, we aren't told to ask for it in the scriptures. We have to be careful. Because we have to be humble. We have to be faithful. We have to be confident. But confidence has its limits. When Moses went to God and said, Father, please let me go into the promised land. That's what I want. Now, if he'd have also prefaced with, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done, then God could have answered that prayer. But God finally said, don't speak to me of this again. I don't want to hear this anymore. You're not going in. So Moses' confidence, if he had any, we don't know because we only see the prayer. We don't really know the attitude involved, but it would have been very foolish for Moses to continue to confidently ask for something that God had told him not to ask for. So we ought to say, if the Lord wills. But if it is according to his will, if it is according to his will, it's something he's asked us for. He's promised to give, then we know. We know. This is the confidence we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Well, I know he hears us whether we ask according to his will or not. That part of the passage is pretty broad. Because God's going to hear everything we ask for. Like Jesus said, he knows what you want before you ask for it. He already knows what you're going to be asking for. That's why we don't need vain repetition. But if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Now again, I think we have to put the term petition under the statement, if it's according to his will. Because otherwise, this passage is not true. It is not true that we can have confidence that everything we bring to God, he's going to say yes. If that were the case, we'd all live eternally because we'd always be praying that God would take care of us. So we have to focus on that term according to His will. So when we pray, when we read, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Now, I know God's will here. God's will is when I'm anxious. Now, when I'm anxious and I bring things to God, I still may not know what His will is, but I know that once it's in His hands, I can let it go. So I get the phone call in the middle of the night, and somebody's in the hospital, and they don't know whether they're going to live or not. And I'm very anxious. And so I bring it to God. Father, let your will be done. I don't know, but I know one thing. If you take over, however this comes out, it'll be for the best. And then the peace of God, which passes understanding, guards our hearts. Now, if we don't have that faith, if we don't have that confidence, then this verse will not be true. We will never have the peace of God, which passes all understanding, if you ask God for something, and then you don't have any confidence. Either, one, He will answer yes, or, two, He will answer no, but either way, it's for the best. So, our anxieties truly are based on a lack of faith. Because if we really trusted that God had control and that God would, that His outcome is going to occur, then like the Hebrew writer said, I will not fear. What can man do to me? I will never fail you. I will never forsake you. So that with good courage we can say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do? Now, there's a huge gap between those two Christians. The Christian who brings things to God and then continues to worry. The Christian who can say, the Lord is my helper. Who can say, He will never leave. He will never forsake. We are more than conquerors. So, when we pray for peace, we know it's God's will. So we know we have the petition, which means if I don't have the peace, it's a problem on my end, not on God's end. In other words, I can't say, God didn't answer my prayer. I prayed and I didn't get the peace as past His understanding. Well, there's a real simple reason for that. Now, first of all, it says be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Did you do that? Well, yeah, I prayed and prayed and prayed for it. Well then, did you say, let your will be done? And trust God that however the outcome comes out now, you've done all you can, and God is the only one who can do the rest. What if we don't have confidence? The verse says, if you lack wisdom, ask of God who gives to all liberally. Now, what part of all do we not understand? Gives to all. Are you part of this? Well, yeah, I'm a Christian. If any of you lacks wisdom, well, I think that probably applies to all of us. Let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. There's nothing bad about asking for this. God reproached Moses when Moses said, let me go into the promised land. But God will never reproach us if, like Solomon, we come before him, Father, I don't know how to come out or go in. I'm just a little child. I certainly don't know how to interact with your people and pass the right kinds of judgments. So please give me wisdom. Now, God proved what He can do. If anybody here wants to say, well, Solomon would have been just as wise if he hadn't asked for wisdom as he was when he asked for wisdom. That's ridiculous. Because God told him, you will be wiser than anyone before you or anyone after you. I will give you this wisdom. Well, if he can do it for Solomon, you say, well, that was a miracle. Well, where's the miracle? Solomon asked for wisdom and God gave it to him. He did the same thing we can do. Now, I don't have any expectation, and you probably don't either, that when you ask for wisdom, I'm going to be Solomon tomorrow. After I make this prayer, I'm going to be the wisest man that ever lived. There'll be nobody before me. Not only would I not expect that, I wouldn't want it. But if we pray for wisdom, and God says, I give to all liberally, God says, it will be given. I can't think of how God could word it any more clearly. If you lack wisdom, well, that's pretty simple. Let him ask of God. Well, yeah, I ask for wisdom. Who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given. Well, how much trust and confidence can I put in that? Well, let him ask in faith. How much trust and confidence is there in faith? With no doubting. Well, I think God's given us a clear point. I've told you, if you lack this, I'll give it to you. I will give it to you liberally, and I won't rebuke you for it because I've asked you to ask for this, and it's a good thing to ask for, and it will be given. Let him ask in faith. How could we not ask in faith? God's given us every assurance that I'm going to do this. That's why John can say, this is the confidence that we have, that if we ask according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know we have the petition. That's exactly what James is saying here. Don't doubt. If we doubt, I don't see how God has the power to do that. If we doubt, I don't know that God will do that for me. If we doubt, we're like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. There's no confidence now. A double-minded man. Unstable. Not just in this matter, but in all matters. So, if we don't have confidence, we don't have faith. And if we don't have faith, we can't expect to receive. So when I come before God asking for forgiveness of sins, I have to have confidence. Because if I doubt, let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. Double-minded. God sees those of us as Christians who come to him with requests that he has asked us to make, and then we doubt, or we say, I don't see how that can be, or we say, I don't know if that's true, or we say, whatever we might say. If any of you lacks wisdom, ask God, he gives to all liberally. But let him ask in faith. So when you look over your life of prayer, when you get up in the morning and you pray, or you pray before you go to bed, are these the characteristics of your prayer? Confidence? Peace? Wisdom? Mercy? If we confess our sins, he is faithful. The word faithful means he keeps his promises. He keeps his word. God has told us how many times in the scriptures, I want to forgive you. Remember we saw this last a couple weeks ago when God passed by Moses and proclaimed his name. Jehovah, Jehovah, God, merciful, compassionate, full of compassion and mercy and forgiveness, forgiving thousands of iniquity and sin. but by no means clearing the guilty. Well, I'm not guilty anymore if I confess my sins, if I bring them to God. Father, I'm sorry, I was wrong, you were right. That's what the word confess means, to speak the same thing. When Jesus says, you confess me before men, he says, you're going to say the same thing about me that I'm saying about me. I'm your Lord. I'm the Christ. When you confess, you agree. He's the Lord, he's the Christ. God tells us what sin is. When our flesh is in control, we doubt that. We're like Adam and Eve. I think it'd be better for me to do this. That's what the flesh is saying. God's saying, the soul that sins will die. So I understand. And as soon as the lust is gone, my mind is clear, and I say to myself, and you say to yourself, I just sinned. Did the very thing God told me if I do, I'll die. And I doubted him for a few moments, and I let my flesh take over and allow me to think the way I wanted to think instead of the way God says I should think. And now here I am again. Father, you were right. I was wrong. I'm a sinner. Jesus says if a man does that 7 times in a day or 77 times, 70 times 7 times, God will forgive. We can pray, lead us not into temptation, or deliver us from the evil one. Or, and I've already got that one, but in each one, we know his will. We can confidently ask. Now, as we look at our prayers, are these the things that we are doing? If we doubt, prayer, which should be such a wonderful time of drawing near to God, becomes a time where God is looking at us, shaking his head, saying, why are you being double-minded and unstable? I told you I'd do this for you. I encouraged you. You are to ask confidently. You are to know that I hear. But there you are doubting. There you are wondering. So essentially what we're saying is that there are two different prayers. There's the prayers of boldness. If we ask according to his will, we know he hears us and we will have. There it is also the prayer of humility, not my will, but your will. Because we do not know how we ought to pray, or how to pray as we ought. Prayer is critical because it is our lifeline. It is our side of a conversation, our side of a relationship with God. And as I pointed out in our very first lesson, regardless of how well we listen to God, if we can't talk to God, we don't have a relationship. We listen to him, but we never talk to him. But he said, I want you to talk to me. And yet, even with humility, it's just a different kind of boldness. I can still boldly go before the throne of grace and say, Father, if it be your will, this is what I want. But I only want it if you want it. Now, that kind of a bold prayer is going to be a bold prayer that God will be happy with. So we can boldly bring our petitions to him, and we can boldly know that he hears. But we also have to boldly say, whoops, that should be me, if it be your will. And then we humbly, submissively, with the peace of God guarding our hearts, waiting for an answer, knowing that answer is going to be yes, or it's going to be no. But we're going to be happy with either answer because we trust the Lord, and we know the Lord has a better plan for you and I and for the people we're praying for than we could ever have. Sometimes our prayers are very selfish. We want what we want without consideration, number one, of what God wants, and number two, of what that person might want or what that person might need. Only God knows all of that. So we're going to be happy with either answer. Because we have great confidence, full confidence, that God knows better than I do how my life should be. And that although oftentimes I take control and make terrible decisions, I still know that God can take all of that and fit it in. Confess your trespasses or sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now let's just stop there because we have already been dealing with this, and let's ask that question again. Do we believe this? Do we believe that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man, or of course, or righteous man or woman, avails much? Now, if that's true, then our prayers are going to have a power, they're going to have an influence, they're going to be something we want to do. We know that our lives are going to be better and more enhanced if we're praying than if we're not praying. That's why we pray, because prayer changes things. Prayer avails much. Now, if we don't believe that, we don't pray very much. Because if we don't think prayer is going to make any difference, we're not going to be praying without ceasing. We're not going to be praying continually and being watchful in it. We're not going to be praying for all the saints. What difference does it make? God already knows what he wants, and he's not going to change anything because I'm talking to him, so why bother? Well, that's a pretty cynical, and it's not fellowship. We're in fellowship with God. There were a couple of times where God said, this is what I'm going to do. And Moses said, Father, please forgive them. And God said, I have relented and I won't do what I was going to do. The effective prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, we can either enter into that. Yes, we're thousands of years later. And certainly, we don't expect miraculous intervention, but most of the times God answers a prayer, it's not miraculous. Because miraculous means God is going to use a man to do it. He can do anything he wants. He can intervene. We might call it supernaturally. He might intervene. He can. The doctor's about to slip and open a vein or an artery, and God nudges him. Oh, God can't do that. He can't. He can't send an angel like he did for Peter. He can't do that. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, I don't think. Well, it doesn't matter what we think. It matters what the scriptures say. He says the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, we can argue with that. We can disagree with that. We can doubt that, or we can accept it. It's up to us. But I'll guarantee you, your prayer life is being directly impacted by how you see that verse. And then he gives us a concrete example. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. In other words, he was weak. We saw this last Sunday night. He asked God to die. He was discouraged. He shouldn't have been discouraged. Jesus didn't get discouraged because he knew he was doing God's will. Elijah should have known that too. But he was a man with a nature like ours. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. You know why he prayed that? Because God told him at the very beginning, there will be no rain except at your word. And so he prayed fervently that it wouldn't rain. And it didn't rain because God told him it wouldn't rain. And this continued for 3 years and 6 months. Verse 18, he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain. Now, why did he do that? Because God told him to. He was asking according to his will. So again, Elijah knew God's will. As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew or rain these years except at my word. Now, he wouldn't say that if God hadn't told him. But he was a man of like passions. So, he struggled with our struggles. He sinned. All have sinned. He was weak. He did foolish things. Made foolish decisions. Prayed for foolish things. But Elijah had confidence. I like this verse because he prays for the rain and there's no clouds. So he says, well, okay, we've prayed for it, and in God's good time, it'll come. No, God had told him, at your word. So he prayed again. Bowed his knee to the ground, bowed down to the ground, verse 43. Go up now and look. And seven times he said, go again. And then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. Now Elijah knew what that meant, and there was not a question of hopeful. He knew. So he said to Abraham, go up. He said to Ahab, prepare your chariot. Because Elijah knew it was God's will. If he had known it was God's will, this would have been very presumptuous. It would have been very presumptuous of him to pray seven times and then tell Ahab, look, you better hurry up and get down because it's going to rain. But he wasn't presumptuous because he knew God's will. So Jesus taught us and lived fervency in prayer. The friend at midnight, importunity. Though he didn't give him because he was his friend, because he wouldn't quit asking, he gave him all that he wanted. Same thing with the unrighteous judge. I don't care about man or God, but this widow is wearing me out. I'm going to give it. Well, why does he say that? Because God is not like the friend at midnight, and God is not like the unrighteous judge. Those are prayers of fervency. I really want it. I really believe I can have it. I really believe that God will give it. Circumstances dictate emotion. We're not always going to have strong cries and tears. Jesus didn't either. But you have to be righteous. One who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. Sometimes we need to start our prayer with, Father, please forgive me of my sins. You know, we were going through the Sermon on the Mount and what Jesus said and talking about it being a template. We don't always have to follow the same order. Sometimes there's a higher priority. And when we've sinned, and we want to pray to God, we know that if we turn our ear away from hearing the law, there's no point in praying. But that doesn't include forgiveness of sin, because if it did, none of us would have any hope. But the prayer of his upright is his delight. Well, after I finish asking God for forgiveness, and after God restores me, the prayer of the upright is his delight. Because Jesus was heard because of his godly fear. I know we've talked about a lot of different things here, but I hope that in the course of the sermon I've touched your heart some way or another, or reminded you of something that maybe we hadn't thought about or had forgotten, or some promise we made earlier about what we were going to do that we forgot to keep, or some part of our prayer that used to be so easy that we forgot how easy it was. Lots of things. That's the problem with living, is that things change. And as they change, we have the tendency to change, but the scriptures never change. And so, brethren, I really hope that this lesson was helpful, that it gives each one of us an opportunity to reevaluate what we're doing when we pray. But there's one thing. We need to have confidence that when God says, I'm going to do this, he will. And it ought to be reflected in the way we pray, in our fervency, and in our content. So, brethren, as we prepare now to sing the song of encouragement, if there's anyone in the audience this morning whose heart is not right with God, maybe there's a sin that is so big that everybody knows except us, and you can't really just pray, and you can't really go talk to everybody. Simplest matter. Come forward and ask for forgiveness. If we can help you in any way, we invite you to come while we together stand and sing.